You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Russell Westbrook is somehow a Houston Rocket, and now we wonder who's next. To talk about it, welcome in to a new episode this Friday here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben DuBose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. What a whirlwind 24 hours or so that it's been. The Rockets, about 7 o'clock Thursday night, announcing the deal. Well, technically, they haven't announced it. It leaked through Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN that they're trading Chris Paul and draft picks to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Russell Westbrook. We had full reaction on Thursday night's show, which you can check out in our Locked On Rockets archives. I also urge you to check out Locked On NBA, the national show on the same Locked On Podcast Network for added perspective. We went through the many storylines of Russ to the Rockets, joining the 2018 league MVP, James Harden, with the 2017 MVP, Russell Westbrook. Of course, they were teammates for three seasons in Oklahoma City from 2009 until 2012. So many layers to this transaction, and we'll be talking about them for days to come. I've got guests lined up for the entire weekend, so please stay tuned here at Locked On Rockets, and we'll have full coverage in the days ahead. Today's show, we're going to be doing a little more immediate reflections. I've got an interview coming up that I just wrapped up with Taylor Travis and Mike Lucas up in College Station on the Zone 1150. I'm going to play that back in the second and third segments of today's show for a little bit more perspective, not just here in Houston, but around the state as well. This is the type of move that has shockwaves really around the entire NBA. So I'll play that back. In this initial segment, I don't want to repeat myself too much from last night. There are pros and cons to this deal. The Rockets probably got the best player at this point. A 30-year-old Russell Westbrook is better than a 34-year-old Chris Paul, in my opinion. With that said, certainly there are fit questions. Two guys that have been as ball dominant as Russell Westbrook and James Harden the last few years. Of course, they played together back in Oklahoma City. Can they still do it as effectively today? And how is Russell Westbrook going to age? All of those are valid questions. It's encouraging that Harden and Russ both want to make it work. That's the first step, but let's not pretend that it's going to be easy. A lot of the questions were not going to get full answers until training camp, and especially the regular season games get going in the fall. We can say everything now as far as pontificating, predicting how it might look, but the truth is, as is the case in most of these situations, you can speculate all you want. The proof isn't going to come until the actual basketball games. As I see it, though, one immediate ramification of this transaction is that it does clarify the needs for the Rockets a bit more in terms of filling out the roster around Westbrook and James Harden. Now, I said on last night's show that in terms of the position needs, not much has changed because effectively all you're doing is slotting in Russell Westbrook as your point guard in the starting lineup in place of Chris Paul. You still need a backup center to replace Nene, and you still need forward depth behind PJ Tucker. We've heard Tyson Chandler and Andre Iguodala as potential targets for the Rockets, and according to Sam Amick of The Athletic, those are two names that are still very close to the top of the Rockets' list after the Westbrook trade. However, the more I think about it, the more I do see a little bit of change with regards to exactly what the Rockets need at those positions. One hidden benefit, perhaps, of Russell Westbrook's style relative to Chris Paul. And again, I'm not saying it's all positive. Chris Paul's probably a better floor general. He's certainly a better shooter. The Rockets take a lot of threes. Westbrook, a career 30% guy from behind the arc. It's not all positive. But one thing that Westbrook can definitely do better than Chris Paul is attack his man off the dribble. There is a cumulative pressure that Russell Westbrook in one-on-one situations, based on his unique combination of size, speed, physicality, burst, that he can put on opposing defenses, even though his efficiency numbers in isolation aren't nearly as good as James Harden. I think that's because he doesn't have the outside shot to fall back on. There is still, based on his physical gifts, accumulative pressure and stress that he puts on opposing defenses that makes life a little bit easier for his teammates, or at least should. And the way this should benefit the Rockets, we saw this at times against the Warriors the last two postseasons. As good as James Harden is, if you are that dependent on one guy in today's NBA, especially in late game situations, your offense can get sticky. It can bog down. Now, Eric Gordon, to a small extent, can be a creator, but by and large, especially this past year, once Chris Paul's burst started to go and he didn't have the ability to blow by his man, a big on a switch the way he did his first season in Houston, everything was dependent on James Harden. And even though over the balance of a game, of course Harden is good enough to where even elite defenders, he can toy with them, even the likes of Andre Iguodala against the Warriors. At the same time, late in these games, when the defenders can empty the tank, so to speak, and the defenses will shade even more resources towards James Harden, even if it's, say, a 4-on-3 situation otherwise, the Rockets did not really have the creators, Chris Paul due to the effects of age, PJ Tucker, Clint Capella, they didn't really have guys that they could trust to create aside from James Harden. And that makes the offense very sticky, because even if an Iguodala type, or now with the Clippers, look at Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, neither of those guys is an elite defender over the balance of a full game, but in small bursts, such as late game possessions when hypothetically a playoff series is on the line, they can be. And so the Rockets need to diversify their attack. That's something I've said before, but in the past, the Rockets didn't really have the personnel to do that. Well, now that you have another guy in Russell Westbrook that can create his own offense one-on-one, it's not as easy for the Rockets' offense to get predictable at the end of these games because they have no choice but to run it through James Harden. The fact that there's a second guy with the ability to beat his man off the dribble is potentially very crucial, because what it lets you do, at least on paper, is compartmentalize with those other spots. If Eric Gordon, as he gets into his 30s, is primarily a shooter, that's fine. He's going to get open threes. Take and make them. If Clint Capella can't really put the ball on the floor when he rolls to the bucket, if he doesn't develop that much in terms of a low post game, that's okay. Because with both Harden and Russell Westbrook now attracting attention from defenses and able to penetrate, Clint can focus on finishing at the rim, the lob game, rebounding, those types of things. We talked a lot during the Golden State series about Capella's inability to create his own offense, to put the ball on the floor, being a significant drawback in today's NBA. Well, it's an especially big drawback because the Rockets, outside of James Harden, don't really have anyone else, or didn't, that could create their own offense. At this point, if Capella's the role man, if he's finishing lobs, if Gordon is your three-point shooter, if PJ Tucker is taking threes in the corner, that's okay. And if you trade for Andre Iguodala from Memphis, which has been rumored really ever since he left Golden State at the start of this month, he can slide in as a 3-and-D guy. He can focus on defense and hopefully making threes in clutch spots the way he did so often for the Warriors, especially against the Rockets. The point is that before you did this, while I don't know that it would have been an overwhelming need, there would have been at least some concern for Daryl Morey in the front office to think about who they acquire through the lens of creativity. Can they diversify the offense? It's not that they weren't interested in Iguodala types before, or that there was no role for Clint Capella, but you did have to consider, at least to some degree, the importance of diversifying the offense and how you could possibly do that, especially as James Harden ages, because Chris Paul is not getting his speed back. That's not how the aging curve works. Well, now that you have another guy alongside Harden that can create his own shot and penetrate and break down defenses, it should let you compartmentalize, specialize a bit more at those other spots. To me, that's a hidden benefit of this, and it makes it a little bit easier to fill out your roster and quite frankly, to live with the existing role players that you have, which seemed a bit better fit for the 2018 Rockets than 2019. Capella and Tucker in particular, where neither can really create their own offense. But if you have James Harden and Chris Paul, the former version of Chris Paul, or now James Harden and Russell Westbrook, it's okay if you don't really have a creator at those other spots. You can let them play to what their strengths are. Another way this could benefit the Rockets is that it extends the window. Now, certainly trading for a 30-year-old Russell Westbrook, sending out a 34-year-old Chris Paul, the Rockets get an age benefit of about 3.5 years out of that deal. So I think everyone, to a small level, understands that the Rockets did get younger. But what I think this really has implications for is the formula that the Rockets can potentially win an NBA championship with. My biggest fear before this transaction was that any slippage at all from James Harden would be magnified because there was no one else that could do anything close to what he did in terms of attacking defenses, especially late in games against the likes of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, or Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. The Rockets were so dependent on Harden that it wasn't just Chris Paul's age. It's that even if Harden were to slip just a little bit when he gets into his 30s, his age 30, age 31, age 32 seasons, it would be especially magnified late in games because the Rockets are so dependent on Harden already. And while you can put a better supporting cast around Harden, unless you had another top-shelf talent, you might be in a pickle when it comes to those late-game possessions that can decide a playoff series. At this point, Russell Westbrook gives you a little more breathing room, in my opinion, for James Harden's aging curve. And perhaps James Harden gives you more breathing room for Russell Westbrook's aging curve. I think that's part of the reason they wanted to play together. But what I mean by that, if Harden doesn't have quite the same burst next year or hopefully a year from now as compared to this stupendous season he had in 2019, averaging 36 points per game, while certainly it would be a hit, if you have another guy that can create his own offense, it may not have quite the same staggering effect late in games. Whereas this past year, any slippage at all from Harden was so noticeable because the Rockets didn't have another option that they could turn to. And sure, the Rockets can try and upgrade their role players around these guys. You hope that Daniel House, Austin Rivers, with more continuity, and in the case of House, just more reps period in the NBA, that these guys can keep improving. Maybe you can hit on some of your draft picks. Chris Clemens has looked good in summer league. Those types of things. But at the end of the day, those are role players. You're probably not going to be able to make up for a slippage from James Harden with those types. You need someone at the highest level, if there's any slippage at all from Harden, to be able to take on some of that burden. And hopefully that's something that Russell Westbrook is able to do. He's under contract for 4 more years, so it's not like the Rockets can move on very easily, even if they wanted to. Now, he's probably a better trade asset than Chris Paul was, given his age, but certainly, this is not a move the Rockets are making because they intend on dealing Russell Westbrook later. They did this move because they believe the partnership of James Harden and Russell Westbrook, and more importantly, the two players themselves believe, can and should win an NBA title. We'll see how it plays out, but in terms of building the roster around these two stars, and that's what's on the agenda the next couple of months for Daryl Morey, while the positions themselves haven't changed, the Rockets need more forward depth. They feel pretty good about the backcourt, Westbrook, Harden, Rivers, Gordon, but they'd probably like to have more depth at the forward spots where they currently have PJ Tucker, Daniel House. Eric Gordon could start again at the three, but if he's off the bench, he'll certainly take a few minutes, even though he's undersized at the three. You know Mike D'Antoni isn't afraid to play small, but they need more wing defense. They need another big to replace Nene. Position-wise, that hasn't changed. But I do think the addition of Westbrook, at least on paper, gives you a little more flexibility in terms of the attributes you need from the role players at those positions. And potentially, it also could even extend the Rockets' window a little bit longer to where hopefully it's not championship or bust just in 2020. Maybe the window stays open a bit longer than we had thought for this current generation of the Rockets, maybe into 2021 and 2022. That's a longer range effect, but again, something to keep your eye on in the weeks and months ahead as the Rockets try and fill out this team around their newfound duo of Russell Westbrook and James Harden. All right, jumping back into the program, this is Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. For the next few days, we're going to be all about this Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul blockbuster trade, examining all the angles. In segment one of today's show, I gave you some thoughts about what I think the implications could be for Daryl Morey as he tries to fill out the roster around these top two, this star backcourt of Russell Westbrook and James Harden, reuniting them from their days with the Oklahoma City Thunder. The final two segments of today's show are going to be a bit more general, initial thoughts following the blockbuster, and of course, options for the Rockets moving forward. I just got done wrapping up a conversation on the Zone 1150 up in College Station with my friends Taylor Travis and Mike Lucas. And on this Friday afternoon show here at Locked on Rockets, I'm going to finish it up by playing back that chat. So without further delay, here's Taylor.
All right, let's get right to it. Russell Westbrook, your initial reaction to the trade?
Blown away. It's one that is transformative on a number of levels, stylistically for the Rockets, their championship window. There's so many implications. Westbrook's a guy, over the past decade, he's been a longtime nemesis. Certainly there was the personal bit between Westbrook and Beverly, which could be reignited next postseason, since Beverly's also on a team that's gotten really good with the L.A. Clippers. But I just think to see the Rockets 2 years after landing Chris Paul, to deal him for a player who certainly has a positive history with James Harden, but also just, I would say, one of the standout guys of this era. To bring a guy like that, and I understand what his worths are, I know what the questions are, and those are all valid, but just from an interest perspective, at a bare minimum, this is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And if nothing else, I think we'll be entertained by it.
That's kind of where I'm at, too. It's one of those, okay, worst case, Westbrook's a Rocket. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, really, no matter what happens. At first, I hated it. I still don't really like it, but like you said, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think it's a situation where you have to hope that the desires of the players to be together outweigh the fit concerns. To some degree, if they want to make it work, that in many cases can be the biggest obstacle. I understand how high usage both of these players are. I know the Rockets' offense, they take a lot of threes. For his career, Russell's just a 30% shooter. So it feels like a weird fit, but the biggest hurdle in many of these situations is whether the guys want to make it work. Clearly they do. This only happened because both James and Russ really wanted it to happen, and so I think that's the starting point. And then the other part of this to consider is that, you know, with Russell turning 30 later, or with Russell turning 31 later this year, and with Harden turning 30, perhaps these guys know or feel that they do need to do things a little bit differently if they're going to last into their mid to late 30s and extend their primes beyond the, you know, just a couple of years that most of us thought. Maybe if you want to be optimistic, I could see that being a case for why these guys want to try and do things a little bit differently from a stylistic perspective than what they've been doing the last few seasons.
Ben, I talked to Taylor about this earlier, and I'm not a Rockets fan. I'm new to Texas, so I don't know a whole lot of Rockets fans, but I do know there's been a bit of contention between the Rockets fan base and Westbrook, especially dating back to that MVP race a few years ago. Do you have any Westbrook takes that you want to erase from Twitter now that he's on your team? And if so, you want to share some of those with us before you erase them?
I'm leaving them up. I got mine retweeted by Matt Moore, HP Basketball, on Twitter. He's a good guy, but along with pretty much every Rockets media or prominent fan person last night, we had some of mine that were dug up. The funny ones, I would say, had to do with the double standard and perception of Harden relative to Westbrook. Like, Matt retweeted a couple of mine in which I pointed out Westbrook having sort of a lapse on defense, a brain fart, and then, of course, because Harden has the narrative, the reputation, I pointed out, just imagine what would happen if the perception was the other way around, if Westbrook got the same skepticism that Harden did. And, of course, now these two guys are together. So I'm going to leave them up because they're funny, and to some degree I do still feel that way. As far as the fan base, what's going to be interesting is that there's going to be a split here between the diehards and the casuals. I think with a lot of the casuals, if this works out, Westbrook's going to be given a lot of the credit for their success. Certainly, he's a very hard-nosed guy, the energy and intensity with which he plays. If the Rockets end up winning a title and they couldn't do it before, then I think with a lot of the casuals, you're going to see Westbrook get a lot of the credit. The interesting dynamic is that with the true diehards, the opposite is going to be the case. You look at the last few years with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant in Golden State, and how even though Durant was probably the best player, the Warriors fan base, they loved Curry so much. He was their guy. Everything, the credit, that is, got put on to Steph, and the blame got put on to KD. In terms of the diehards, you know, certainly they'll support Westbrook because at the end of the day, people just want to see the Rockets win games. They want them to win a championship. But in terms of the pulse of the fan base, you know, I could see casuals giving Russ credit, but with the diehards, it's going to be funny because certainly we're biased. We can own that. And I think a lot of people are going to be framing things around the idea of Harden being responsible for the success just because, you know, with the 2017 MVP race, all the debates at the backdrop, I think clearly amongst the diehards, just as Steph Curry got the benefit of the doubt in Golden State because he was there before Kevin Durant, my suspicion is that the same is going to be the case with James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Once again, we're with Ben DeBose of the Locked On Rockets podcast, LockedOnRockets.com. You can hear that Locked On Rockets podcast on Spotify. Pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find that Locked On Rockets podcast. Ben, you already touched on this just a little bit, but to go into more detail, what needs to happen for Harden and Westbrook to work?
Clearly, the first step is them wanting and having a desire to change, because that's going to be the biggest thing. As far as stylistically, I think both need to be more amenable to moving away from the ball. I think with regards to Harden, he needs to be put in the right positions, wherever he's most comfortable to catch and shoot. Even though Chris Paul is a good passer, Chris Paul did not have the ability, especially after year one, to really beat his man off the dribble. So it wasn't like he really created that much for James. Because Westbrook still has that explosion, I don't know if he's quite as peak Westbrook in terms of his athleticism, but it's obviously still very good. Harden should have better opportunities to catch and shoot, and he needs to make sure that, you know, if he needs to move a little bit to make sure that he's in the right spot or wherever he's most comfortable, that he does that. With Westbrook, of course, it's his quick switch ability. Can he be more willing to cut when Harden has the ball to put himself in the right position to succeed? I think it's the off-ball awareness that's going to be the biggest thing for both of these guys, because they're so used to having the ball in their hand. And to some degree, I think Mike D'Antoni will still stagger the minutes the same way he did with Harden and CP3, to where you'll have some time in which Westbrook and Harden are each leading the team by themselves. But when they're together, the biggest thing is just going to have to be off the ball, be it cutting or trying to get in the right spot for the three. Those guys just need to be a lot more aware. And then defensively, I think Westbrook the last couple of years has actually graded out a little bit better than his rough would suggest. Harden has definitely gotten a lot better as well in the post. He's one of the NBA's best defenders, actually. But at times in their careers, those two guys, Harden and Westbrook, have had reputations for ball watching. Westbrook with the rebounds and the triple-double pursuit. Harden is a guy who often goes for the home run. Now that you have two of those guys on one team, it's going to make it all the more important for those guys not to do that, because you know, you can survive it if you have one guy that's ball watching and either trying to get a rebound or start the fast break the other way. Transition, by the way, is another thing. The Rockets need to play more up-tempo because Westbrook's just a much more lethal threat and quicker than Chris Paul at 34 years old. But as far as the defense, I think you just need to have both of those guys make sure that the strides they've made in the last couple of years continue, because if they revert back to old habits and now you don't have one, you have two of your five that are ball watching and not necessarily paying attention to the player movement, the cuts, those types of things, then that could become a real problem.
Ben, how much do you think this move was made predicated on the fact the Rockets just weren't sure how healthy Chris Paul would be based on a full season, and Westbrook's been the much more durable player throughout his career? Does that have anything to do with Morey making this move?
A little bit, yeah. I think besides the friendship of Harden and Russell Westbrook, I think one of the benefits is what you said, the regular season grind. Dwight Howard and Chris Paul, those are the two all-star co-stars that over Harden's career in Houston that he's had. Both of those guys, Dwight and CP3, had pretty serious medical concerns to where the best season of the Harden and Dwight partnership, Dwight missed 41 of the 82 games. And Chris Paul, both of his first 2 years, missed about 25. And I think for the Rockets, with Harden turning 30 in actually just a few weeks, as great as he's been, they know that going into his 30s, he probably cannot go through that same workload, especially if they want him to last into his mid to late 30s and prolong this window. So I do think that CP3's injury history, you know, it's a little thing. I think by and large, this happened because Westbrook became available after Kawhi plucked Paul George out of Oklahoma City. And if Westbrook wasn't going to be in OKC, then teaming up with James Harden, perhaps his best friend in the league in Houston as a legitimate contender, makes the most sense. But I do think a little bit of Chris Paul injury history is a factor, because even though the Rockets had survived it the last couple of years, they've generally survived it because Harden has been Superman. If you want Harden to last into his 30s, then I do think that having a guy in Westbrook that's more durable, in theory, it reduces the burden, the workload over 82 games for James Harden, and I think there's some associated benefits from that.
It's been a really eventful offseason. In fact, probably one of the more eventful offseasons ever. Of course, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George going to the Clippers, Anthony Davis going to the Lakers, Jimmy Butler in Miami. Would this have happened if those moves didn't happen?
No, especially not the Kawhi Leonard. That was the domino. Now, Jonathan Fagan of the Chronicle, there's an interesting report last night that said Westbrook broached the subject of a trade with the Thunder after they were eliminated by the Blazers in round one of the playoffs. It doesn't sound like it was a trade demand, more like, can we get over the hump? And if not, you know, I'm 30, turning 31, does this really make sense? It doesn't sound like he asked out. It was more just feeling out the possibility, since a lot of it felt like, you know, the Thunder, it was year two, not year one of the Paul George and Russell Westbrook partnership. So if in year two they still weren't getting out of the first round, what really was the ceiling? With that said, no one had asked out, and even though they're a small market franchise, the Thunder had paid the tax and had a high team salary for a number of years. So until Kawhi went to the Clippers, I never really thought that the Thunder were going to break up. Maybe they'd sell off a couple of spare parts, but by and large, I thought they would run it back. I think if Paul George certainly leaving OKC, that puts them into rebuilding mode, and then Kawhi and Paul George teaming up, LeBron and Anthony Davis, I think it makes it even more natural at that point, besides just Russell Westbrook wanting to leave Oklahoma City because it's a rebuilding situation. I think that emphasis on duos made it all the more likely for, and according to Brian Windhorst, this is exactly what happened, for Westbrook to call up James Harden. You know, of all the star players in the NBA, that's by far the guy closest with, to say, hey, maybe we should team up. Maybe we should be that duo to rival Kawhi and PG or LeBron and Anthony Davis. So, yeah, both in terms of leaving Oklahoma City and in terms of these stars teaming up, this new wave, I think all of that pushed this situation to a head and got Westbrook to Houston.
That leads you to my last question, Ben. I just want to mention KD, Kyrie, and Brooklyn. Don't forget about my Nets, Taylor. I know you're always blowing my Nets off to the side.
I was thinking in the West.
We're relevant now. You were talking about the power duos, though, Ben. Where do you think this Harden-Russ duo ranks among what's now the league's foremost, I'd say, what the league's going now? It seems like every good team has two stars. Where does the Russ-Harden combo rank among the best?
I think I'd put them third behind LeBron and AD and Kawhi and Paul George. We'll see what KD and Kyrie look like once KD gets back, although they'll probably be
Thank you.
A year from now. I'll give you the credit. But as far as the top three, what's interesting and what could push Houston even higher is that Houston has the fewest durability questions of those top three. On paper, if everyone is healthy, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, there's a little bit more size in terms of the versatility, how their skills overlap. There's a slightly easier fit than there is with Harden and Russ in Houston. But, you know, Kawhi has the chronic quad situation. He missed 22 games last year. Paul George is going to miss the first few weeks of the season after rotator cuff surgery. LeBron James is 35 years old and missed a lot of time with the groin last year. Anthony Davis in New Orleans has had a lot of little nicks, has missed time in nearly every NBA season. So the benefit for Houston, you know, I put them third because I think, you know, the size, the versatility is a little bit better. It's not a huge gap, but certainly, at least on paper, the fit's a little smoother with those two LA teams. However, you know, this NBA championship, just the one that wrapped up a month ago, was decided in large part by injuries, by what happened to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson during the playoffs. And the upside for Houston is that, you know, of these duos, I wouldn't necessarily rank them number one right now, but there's less injury concerns. Whereas, you know, Kawhi and Paul George, with Kawhi in that chronic quad, that's not getting any better. He's probably going to need 20-plus games off every season just to get through. And during the playoffs, he was one thing. He had an overcompensation injury. So I think the durability question, and LeBron turning 35, that's where Houston, even though I wouldn't rank them the best duo in the NBA, they might be the most durable. And over the grind of an 82-game season plus hopefully four playoff series, that might be something that, even if on paper it's not the best fit, could lift Houston near the top.
Ben, we're out of time, but thanks for joining us as always.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Good conversation there. Really enjoyed it with my friends Taylor Travis and Mike Lucas, and I think that's where we'll wrap things, barring some other unexpected transaction. You can never say never with Daryl Morey, but I think this is where we'll wrap up on this Friday, July 12th, here at Locked on Rockets, and of course we'll have more conversations throughout the weekend, lining up a few more NBA experts to get their takes on Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and how exactly this new partnership is going to work. Anyway, if you want more content before our next show, which I believe will be tomorrow, there are, of course, many ways that you can get that. First and foremost is Twitter, where I'm on there at Ben Dubose, and the show is on there at Locked on Rockets. Beyond that, we've got a website, lockedonrockets.com, a Facebook account, facebook.com/lockedonrockets, email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways that you can access prior episodes, or you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, those types of things. And please remember that to get this show every day, you can and should subscribe to Locked on Rockets. You can do so via Himalaya, their new podcast app is awesome, or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, as Taylor said during the show. There's so many places that you can find this program. Please subscribe, and I encourage you to not only do that, but also leave 5-star reviews wherever you can. That's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model rolling as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And when you get in your car or you go to the gym, you can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Rockets and listen to our most recent episodes that way as well. Once again, I'm Ben Dubose. Thanks to all of you for listening, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked on Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.